Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
If you love me, you'll obey me. The things that are coming out of my face, the words that I'm speaking, if you really love me, guys, and it may get hard some days, it may be hard, but I'm telling you, if you love me, you'll obey the things that I command. So we don't like to talk about this. We like to talk about God loving us and us loving him back and all that's great. But you understand that when we walk in relationship with God, it requires love. As a matter of fact, obedience is at the heart of faith in God.
What are the requirements for walking with God? You've accepted Jesus into your life, but now what? In today's message, Pastor Michael talks about how obedience is required in a relationship with God. Sometimes obedience doesn't look the way you want. Maybe you don't want to go somewhere that God has called you to. But to follow God and to desire for His will to be done, sometimes we have to be placed somewhere uncomfortable. God will never give you something you can't handle, so obey Him. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Genesis chapter 17 as he begins his message, Obedience in Every Area of Your Life.
Oh boy, we're going to talk about a subject that probably not a subject that people really enjoy. You know, we like to come to church and hear about God's love and His grace and everything. But when you're committed to teaching the whole counsel of God, there are subjects that make us a little bit uncomfortable. And today the subject is obedience. I'm calling this obedience in every area of our lives. I want you to do this before we start. I want you to imagine with me that you work for this big company, okay? And the CEO, the president comes to you and he says this. He says, and all the employees, he gathers them together and he says, I have to go overseas. I'm going to have to go abroad for a while. It could be a long time. And I'm going to be leaving the store basically in your hands. I need you folks to manage the business, keep it going for me while I'm gone. Now, this is what I'm going to do. I'm committed. I will write you letters and I'll give you instruction and I'm going to, you know, tell you my desires and my concerns or whatever while I'm gone, but I need you guys to run things. Is that okay? So you and the rest of the employees are like, absolutely. That sounds great. We'll take care of it. So he leaves and he's gone for like years. Okay. He's gone. While he's gone, he stays to his word. He writes letters all the time, just giving his desires and his concerns and instructions to the folks back home. Now, when he finally returns, 2-3 years later, he finally returns. He's walking up to his business and it's a complete mess. He's noticed that rather than making a profit, the entire business has completely taken a dive. They've suffered huge loss. And as he's walking up, he's noticing weeds everywhere and everything. He notices some of the windows in the front have someone's thrown rocks through them and they're broken. And so he's kind of upset as he's walking up. Then he walks into the foyer of his company, his business, and the receptionist is asleep on her desk. And so he's like, what? And then he can hear like loud music, like rocking from some of the offices. And he notices a couple of his employees are like horse playing and they're wrestling in the back. And he's like, what's going on? And there's a bunch of other employees and they're all crowded around a computer and they're watching YouTube videos. They're laughing. So he's got a frown on his face. He calls everybody together. I want a meeting now. So they all come together and he's like, what happened? What is going on? I don't understand. Didn't you guys get my letters? All my instructions of what you were supposed to be doing, didn't you get it? And so you're there and you're listening and you say maybe something like this. Oh yeah, yeah, we got your letters. Those letters were awesome. They were so good. We read them and read them. We read them to everybody. As a matter of fact, we took your letters and we bound them up in a book. They were so good. And some of us even memorized parts of your letters. They were so good. And you know what we did? You're going to love this. We started on Sunday's meeting. We call it letter study. But we'd get together and we'd study your letters. They were awesome. Thank you for those letters. And so then the boss would probably say, so you got the letters, but why didn't you do anything that was in those letters? Like you didn't do anything. And then the employees would probably say, do anything? What are you talking about? Of course we didn't do anything, like, but we loved your letters. We loved them. Now listen, that's a simple story, but here's the point. The point is, we can love God's word. We can read the Bible. We can know the Bible. Some of us can even memorize parts of the Bible. But wouldn't we all agree that reading the Bible, loving the Bible, studying the Bible, knowing parts of the Bible is important, but it's not nearly as important as taking what the Bible teaches and applying it to our everyday lives? It's called obedience, gang. It's obedience. We love to hear about the love of God, the grace of God. We love to hear about the cross and how much God loves us and be encouraged in that way. I love to preach on that. It's very, very important that we remind ourselves of all of that. But part of the whole counsel of God is that you and I would be those who walk in obedience. We have to. It's part of the Christian life. As a matter of fact, the disciple Peter, after Jesus ascended into heaven, all the disciples became apostles, because apostle means those who are sent out. And Peter was one of those. He was sent out to go preach the good news. We read this letter that Peter wrote, and he's writing to this group of Christians who are being attacked and persecuted and murdered by a Roman guy named Nero. And he's doing disgusting things. He's burning them at the stake. He's crucifying them and all this stuff. So the Christians who are falling in love with Jesus are living in a time of major persecution. And so Peter is talking to them, and he's like, listen, you guys endure, man. Keep going. I love that you love Jesus. This is awesome. And he writes these letters that we have, first and second Peter. And I want to read to you from his very first letter. Listen to what he says. He's encouraging these folks that love the Lord, but they're undergoing persecution. And because of that persecution, by the way, many of these people had to just up and leave. They left their jobs, they had to leave their homes, and they had to scatter, and they scattered all over Asia Minor. But listen to this. Verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, I'm writing this letter. Who am I writing it to? To the chosen, living as exiles, dispersed abroad in all these places that are hard to pronounce. He goes, I'm writing to you, you're chosen, listen to this, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. I'm writing to you who are chosen for what reason? Listen, to be obedient and to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. It's like Peter saying, listen, you guys are awesome. I love how you love the Lord, and you're even being persecuted for it, and some of you have left everything. This is so awesome. I'm writing to you guys who've been chosen not just to be saved by God's foreknowledge. I'm not just writing to you who've been chosen to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you, those folks too. But I'm also writing to people who've been chosen not just to be saved, but to be obedient. There's something about our faith and our walk with God. Obedience is a huge part of this. You know, Jesus one time in John chapter 14, he was talking and he said, if you love me, you'll obey me. The things that are coming out of my face, the words that I'm speaking, if you really love me, guys, and it may get hard some days, it may be hard, but I'm telling you, if you love me, you'll obey the things that I command. So we don't like to talk about this. We like to talk about God loving us and us loving him back, and all that's great. But you understand that when we walk in relationship with God, it requires love. As a matter of fact, obedience is at the heart of faith in God. It's at the heart of it. I would suggest it's hard to have a relationship with God without there being obedience. If you think back of the very first human, Adam, his name was Adam, right? Adam, the Bible tells us that God walked with Adam in the afternoon, like through the Garden of Eden, right? He enjoyed this incredible, intimate relationship with the Lord. Can you even imagine that? You're walking through the woods with the one who created the woods, the one who created everything. Like Adam's having this, there's no shame, there's no sin, there's no division of relationship. It's just Adam and God. Everything is awesome. And so we hear sermons today and we talk about how God wants that relationship with us again. He wants to walk with us in intimacy again. That's like, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. That'd be a cool bumper sticker. And so we talk like this, but in the midst of that intimate, awesome, maybe the best relationship that anyone's ever had with Almighty God, in the midst of that, there was an expectation of obedience. Because what did God do? God set down a rule. Don't eat from that tree. The tree is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God didn't have to do that. God could have just made it super easy. We're just going to walk together and frolic in the garden and love each other. It's going to be awesome. But God, out of his grace, gave man a choice. Because let me tell you something, gang. True love demands a choice. It just does. I don't want to force my wife to love me. Like, dang it, honey, you need to love me today. And she's like, no, I actually don't feel like loving you today, you jerk. Right? When love is forced, we have other words for that. Lust, rape. It's not true love. True love is a choice. I'm giving you a choice. So God, because he truly loved man, gave him a choice. Now, God's the rule giver, and he's allowed to make rules. He's allowed to. He's God, actually. Like, I didn't invent him. He made me. So God's allowed. But isn't it interesting that he gave them one rule? He didn't give them dozens of rules. He didn't give them thousands of rules. It was one rule. Don't eat from this tree. And so along with this intimate relating with the Lord, Adam had with that relationship this expectancy of what? Of obedience. You obey. Now, we know that Adam didn't obey. He ate of the fruit. He wasn't supposed to do that. Jacked up everything. Sin entered the world. And as the prophet Isaiah tells us, that when we have sin in our lives, Isaiah says, your sin has separated you from your God. Your iniquity is separating you from God. So that's what happened. He ate, he disobeyed. One stinking rule, Adam, but he disobeyed. And so what happens? There becomes a separation, but immediately out of God's grace and mercy, he sets a plan in motion to get man back in relationship with him. The woman's heel would crush the serpent. Because from Adam's seed would come the Messiah, Jesus, who would go to the cross and die for every one of our sins. Amen? So God still desires that intimate relationship with us. But here's my point today. My point is that in that relationship, it requires a bit of obedience. We don't like to talk about that. We just want to talk about relating, and it's all groovy, and God loves me no matter what, and he forgives all my sins. And that's awesome. Can I go now? But there's a big part of, actually, you know what? You know what obedience is? It is a respect for God. It's just respecting him. Saying, God, I'm going to walk in your way. And of course, that's what Jesus was saying when he said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Too often, I think Christians falsely assume that within this idea of God making us for himself, we falsely assume that salvation alone is his end purpose. So let me say that again. I think a lot of times we Christians, we think the only reason we're supposed to be Christians is that God wants us to be saved. He wants us to go to heaven when we die. And that is super important, by the way. But that ain't the only reason. God, matter of fact, Jesus' first words, his cousin, John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of heaven is now. Like, it's supposed to be starting now. Like, God wants to be walking in intimacy with us now. Not, yes, we get to go to heaven one day. We go to the pie in the sky and the great by and by. Whoa! It's awesome. But as important as that, if I can say it this way, is that you and I be people who are walking with him in obedience, shining our light to the world around us. It's important. We are still made for obedience. And by the way, all of this shouldn't scare us. You know, some people say, you know, those Christians, all they do is they have all their rules. You know, you're supposed to follow. Don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with girls who do. And if I just follow these rules, and I guess, and that's all the Christianity is. It's a bunch of rules. And here you are talking about obedience, and God's got these rules and everything. And I don't want to hear that. I just want to hear about God loving me and forgiving me so I can go live like hell. It doesn't need to scare us when we talk about obedience. As a matter of fact, I'm learning, and I haven't totally learned it yet, but I'm learning that as I walk in faith with God through his son, Jesus Christ, through a relationship with Jesus, as I'm walking this thing out, living a life in my very best power that I can with the Spirit's help big time, that sanctifying work that Peter was talking about, as I'm doing that, walking in obedience, I'm finding a life of joy and peace that I don't think the world understands. Now, when I live in disobedience, when I live in rebellion, I do the things I want to do. Dude, I mess things up. Anybody relate? It's like, But man, when I submit to the Lord and I go, God, you know what? Your principles and your ways are actually ways to live peacefully and better than I could have lived if I was calling the shots. We were never meant to call the shots in our lives. I say that word a lot, calling the shots. God is meant to call the shots in our lives. You guys with me? So you're like, okay, Michael, talk about circumcision. Okay. Abraham. I'm talking about obedience here, but Abraham was a man who obeyed the Lord, man. Now, he made mistakes just like you do and I do. He made mistakes. We've talked about them, and he'll make more. But here's the deal. When he heard the word of the Lord, what I find is that he obeyed the Lord like immediately, right?
God speaks to him, Abraham, I want you to leave the land, you know, your land, your hometown. It was called. You are I want you to leave and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. And so what happens? Abraham's like, yes, sir. Don't know who you are. Never heard this voice before, but I'm gone. I'm doing it. He obeys immediately. In what we're about to read today, God says, I want you to circumcise yourself. What? Maybe there's another religion that would be better for me. I'm sorry. What was that? No arguing, dude. We see immediately the very day he does that. We're going to read in chapter 22, where the famous story where God calls him to sacrifice his son Isaac, right? And we're told in the Bible that very morning he got up, traveled 3 days to do exactly what God called him to do. Abraham was a man who simply obeyed. He didn't question the Lord. He didn't grumble. Anybody ever have a problem with grumbling? Just me, okay. Not Abraham. He didn't try to convince God to change his mind. He simply obeyed. So today we're going to finish up chapter 17, and we're going to see some things that I think are kind of interesting that I want to point out of how Abraham obeyed in all these different areas of his life. We ended in verse 17. Abraham is laughing. The Bible says that he's on the ground and he's laughing because God's just revealed to him that in his old age, in his impotence, in his wife's barren womb, they are going to have a child. And so he's laughing. He's like, what? How can an old guy have kids? This is incredible. This is a miracle. But what we see here in one verse's time, verse 18, Abraham's laughter turns to anguish. His delight turns to pain here as he remembers that he already has a son named Ishmael. So that's where we're at. Let's look at verse 18. So Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael were acceptable to you. The Hebrew text here makes it very, very clear that this is the passionate cry of a father who is saying, God, please, I already have a son. This is a beautiful miracle that you're talking about doing. You're going to have us have a child and we're going to name him Isaac. And that's groovy and that's wonderful. But what he's saying here, it's this passionate cry saying, God, I already have a child. I already have a son. I love him. Ishmael's a good kid. Can't you do this whole covenant thing that you've been talking about? This whole blessing the world thing? Because you have to understand, through Abraham and Isaac and the lineage and all their children, they keep having children, comes Jesus. This is the blessing that God is promising right here. So Abraham's like, is there any way that we could do this through the son I already have? This is great that you can make a miracle happen. Woohoo! But is there any way you could use my son? It's almost like he's saying, God, I know I got ahead of you. I know I didn't seek your face. We got ahead of you here and we have Ishmael. But is there any way, I kind of made a mess of things, is there any way you could bless my mess? Anybody ever done that? Instead of waiting on God, you know, you get ahead of God and you kind of just do what you want to do and then it all jacks up and you're like, God, is there any way you could bless this? Totally made a mistake, but I know you love me and you're good and you're great. Can you bless my mess? I used to think that prayer was sort of like giving God orders. God, bless this, bless that, bless the other, bless me, bless America. Like I could ring a bell and the more faith I had, the louder the bell would ring and God would show up and grant me my wishes like a genie or something like that. I am learning now that I used to think that I knew what God should do, but now I'm learning that I don't have a clue. I used to think, see that rhymed. Did you guys catch that? I used to think I knew what God should do. How did I say that? But now I know I don't have a clue.
I'm learning this, gang, that God gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. God gives his best to the people who leave. This is why Jesus said, when you pray, pray your will be done, not my will be done. So let me tell you, prayer is not giving God orders. Prayer is showing up for duty and saying, Lord, whatever you want, I would love for you to bless my mess, but the truth is, Lord, I need you just to have your way, because I get that your way is way better than my way anyway. It's a lot of rhyming happening today. Verse 19, but God said no. I don't even love it when God says no. I love that. It's like, God, could you do this? And you're like, I'm just waiting for an answer from the Lord. Sometimes his answer is no. Okay, I'm just going to keep praying. I'm going to keep pestering you, Lord, because I need the answer to be something other than no. I'm even okay with wait a minute, but I ain't okay with no. Sometimes God's answer is no. Interesting. Sorry. But God said no. Your wife Sarah will bear you a son. Ishmael at this point is 13 years old. She's been born from Hagar, but he was not, please hear this, Ishmael was not the child of God's promise. Thus, he could not be the child of God's blessing. So God's like, listen, I see something much grander than you. I'm so glad, Abraham, that you love your son Ishmael. That's a big deal. That's awesome that you love your son. But I'm going to tell you, no. I've said what's going to happen. This is my word. And I've got a blessing that you can't even begin to believe coming your way. How often that is the same with us. I'm like, God, I want this one. And God's like, Michael, no, because I got something you can't even imagine around the corner for you. Just trust me. Amen. He goes on, verse 19, you will name his name Isaac, which means laughter, by the way, in Hebrew. I will confirm my covenant with him as a permanent covenant for his future offspring. Only laughter, only Isaac would be the child of promise. And as we talked about last week, if you didn't hear it, this is why. Because Isaac was uniquely a child of grace. God made Isaac come about, and there was no earthly way it could happen. Romans chapter 4 makes it very clear that Abraham considered himself dead inside, which means impotent, and that his wife, her womb was so. This was an absolute miracle life by God. And Isaac, it needed to come from that, this blessing. Does that make sense? Okay, let's keep going. Verse 20. As for Ishmael, God says, I have heard you. I will certainly bless him, and I will make him fruitful and will multiply him greatly. He will father 12 tribal leaders, and I'll make him into a great nation. But I will confirm my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this time next year. And when he finished talking with him, God withdrew from Abraham. So although Isaac is the child of promise, although this is, I've got big plans and going on, I see how much you love your other son, Ishmael. And I want you to know, out of my grace, I'm going to bless him as well. And he's going to be the father of a lot of nations, which absolutely came to pass. All of the Arabs today, the Arab nations come from Ishmael. And of course, there's been all kinds of fighting and things from the descendants of Isaac and the descendants of Ishmael that we're still dealing with today. But the truth is Ishmael ended up being a father of many, many nations and considered as a great person to a lot of people. But I can't help but wonder, and I'm going to keep driving this home. I can't help but wonder if Abraham, rather than saying, bless me, bless Ishmael, if in rather he had stopped and said, Lord, what do you have? What would you like to do? Let's keep going. Verse 23. So Abraham took his son Ishmael and those born in his household or purchased, every male among the members of Abraham's household, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin on that very day, just as God had said to him.
Our time with you today on Burning Hearts is coming to a close, but that doesn't mean you have to stop studying the Word. Take some time today to review the passage from the book of Genesis or turn to another book in the Bible. There's so much to learn from Scripture, and we're glad you've chosen to study it with us. If you missed any part of today's teaching or want to explore more of Pastor Michael's message, head on over to our website, thealpinechapel.com. If you're in the Telluride area and would like to come visit us this weekend, we'd love to have you do so. The Alpine Chapel meets every Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. to worship, learn from the Bible, and just enjoy being together as a family of faith. If you're curious about any unknowns before you come, look under the menu at thealpinechapel.com and find I'm New Here FAQs. There's some helpful information there for you. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. An easy way to get in touch with us for any questions or comments is by going to the contacts page. You can send us an email with anything you're wondering about, or if you just want to get in touch, be sure to let us know you've been listening to Burning Hearts. And you can also share with us what you've been learning from the teachings. You can also submit prayer requests that you feel comfortable sharing. Although our time with you today has come to an end, we're thankful that you've tuned in. And we look forward to the next edition, right here on Burning Hearts.